Most High, I come to you giving you thanks and praise for keeping me in sound body and mind. I ask you to forgive me for all my indiscretions, all that I have done and all that I will do. I ask you to open me up, use me as your vessel, let my voice be yours. Speak your mission through me, allow listeners to open up and receive it the way you intended. No holds barred. Use me.
You're listening to part two of my conversation with Den Den, the girl who left. Family left Eritrea when she was one, moved to Connecticut, then again left to North Carolina, where she encountered some disturbing family dynamics. She left her house, and now she's left to go try to restart her life in Georgia, and that's where we pick up the story now.
And so she dropped me. Like, she was like...
No, okay, you can't just... There has to be a buildup to it, there.
No, a friend of hers, and see, this is the problem. Young, pretty, Eritrean girl, 17. A friend of hers was gorgeous. Super gorgeous woman, long, curly hair. I just remember how beautiful her hair was, and I liked this woman. I looked up to her, I admired her. So something happened where her man must have looked at me or done something and got her feathers in a bunch.
So everybody is Eritrean?
These are black women in the South. So this woman, she was really light skinned. She was really bright. And her hair was super curly and long. And I just thought she was gorgeous. And I would talk to her like that. But somewhere she got, not jealous.
She was insecure?
She got insecure about this little 17-year-old being in...
Wait a second, this 17-year-old that still looks like a beanpole, or...?
I had started to put on stuff. Things had started to happen. Okay. This is not sophomore, junior year anymore. I was a senior, and I did start to have
look
a
like
body.
A woman.
I did start to have a body. I didn't know it. I was still tomboy in my mind. I was still a sports person, but yes, I was skinny and started getting the figure. So that's pretty nice, and I'm sure, but whatever. But it wasn't me. I didn't do anything to get any attention, but she got mad and she told her friend to get rid of me. So that's when the woman was like, you know, you ain't got nothing to do with me. You can go find your way and, you know, she said, I'm going to go call down to the school and tell them that you are not undermining. Like, and I was like, okay, whatever. Like, all right, sure. And I went and I found my way. And then like a couple weeks later, the school kicked me out. The school was
What's
like,
the reasoning?
They said, you don't have a parent or guardian. We can't be responsible for you. We need someone else to be responsible for you. And I hadn't gotten emancipated. So I didn't have like guardianship of myself.
Was that something you were working on in the background?
No, that would be too much well thought out. It wasn't that well thought out. I had money and
so again, go back to the timeline so I keep it in my head. You're in Georgia, let's say the beginning of the year. You're in
like 1997.
But it's the beginning of, because you over Christmas your uncle came, you were there in Texas for 3 weeks, so still January, February or so, you make your way to Georgia.
Yeah, it's January.
And you're in school for how long? A month?
Like, yeah, it was like February and I was kicked out.
And then what then?
And then I started fighting. I go down to the Board of Education, try to be heard, try to speak to people, and it just wasn't working. It was like March. It was, you know, it was April. Like, you know, it was...
School was about to be done.
Yeah.
Why?
And so I was about to mess up. This is like, I was supposed to be graduating that year. I was mm-hmm. class of 97. I actually ended up graduating class of 98 because of this. And so I actually stopped fighting because I was just like, okay, put your hands up. You've done everything you can. There's a word in the Bible that says, you know, you do everything you can do, but you get to a point and you leave it in God's hands. Right? And I believed in that. I said, okay, I'm gonna leave this in God's hands. If God wants this for me, he'll take care of it. And that was my attitude. And I sang in a gospel choir down there. I was a member of a church and I worked two jobs. This is the only time I worked at a fast food place. I worked at a Burger King and a Waffle House. And so I was
best of both worlds. That's like a Jay-Z. That's Jay-Z and R. Kelly right there.
Yeah.
The best of both worlds. At least for my son, because he loves Waffle House. I can't stand the place.
Waffle House. I think they have certain things that are good.
There's nothing there that's good.
Oh no. That
first of all, the kitchen is the kitchen. No, the Texas. Well, the Texas scattered
in chunks.
It's just, you know what it is. It's a heart
dressing.
It's a heart attack. It's a heart attack. And you smell the coronary bypass. You smell the coronary bypass.
I actually have to ask them if they have ranch dressing. I don't really care for ranch dressing, but for that meal, I need it. So do you have ranch dressing? Oh, no? Yeah, I can't.
And you're still alive? Am I talking with ghosts, or you're still alive here?
I'm still alive? Yeah, I'm healthy.
It's a walking coronary Waffle House. It's
not all of walking it. I appreciated their salads. Their basics. Salads with the chicken was so good. Their grilled chicken, it came from like meat, like they're
you know
in
what it
sealed
is?
Bags.
Waffle House is for people who are 2 o'clock in the morning are too drunk to make good decisions. They're too drunk to make the best decisions in the world.
I used to call it Awful House, and I still like love it.
What's wrong with that?
It's Awful House, but it was good. And I worked there. And I went to church, and somebody from the church came and found me in the dirt house that I was living in.
Dirt house? Is that real? Literal?
Like
country
the,
house?
The road was dirt. Like you'd have to
not
drive.
The ground is dirt.
But the ground was kind of dirt. Like the
in the house. Because I've been around people. I've had friends who lived in a where the ground was. Was there floor?
I remember at least one of those rooms. The dirt was like.
This is where in Georgia, by the way, in the country.
Yeah, this is in the country. This is down, Forsyth.
How far?
Forsyth, Georgia.
So this is far. Everything is in relation to Atlanta. How far from Atlanta?
It's about 5 minutes
south.
So
not too far.
It's actually the first time you see lights when you're driving down 85.
That's not far.
Yeah, it's above Macon. About 15 minutes above Macon. So it's actually the biggest city of the sticks. Like of the small cities. We are king, you know. we got a Walmart.
In Georgia, the second half of that year of high school was a wash. You didn't go to school.
Yeah. So this is about spring, summer. About spring.
And you're still in Georgia.
It's actually like, yeah.
So did your high school career ended in Georgia?
Yeah, I graduated high school in Georgia.
In Forsyth County, Georgia.
And not what county, Forsyth, Georgia.
So, are you still living with these people who don't want to be with you, or who are you living with? When the school year started, when the school year starts that fall,
yes.
Obviously you get your paperwork done.
So if
you need a guardian to go to school, so how do you get back to school then?
That's what I'm telling you. This woman who sang in the choir next to me, she actually stood next to me. She heard through the grapevine. She heard through gossip. That what was happening, and so she came and found me where I was, and she said, you know, and they call me Mary.
Why?
That's what the girl who I went with from North Carolina. She didn't want her family in North Carolina knowing who she went with. She didn't want them knowing how she got there.
You had an alias. Everybody down there knew you was Mary.
Yes, exactly. So instead of calling me Denda, she called me Mary. So she introduced everybody to me as Mary, and everybody knew me as Mary. And of course, my paperwork came, and I did eventually go to school there, and my name is Denden. So I would actually have to write Denden Mary on my papers for people to know that it was me, to give me back my like my test or my assignment, you know. But on the teacher's book,
officially
it said
you were
Denden,
but everybody and your friends.
And then it
Mary.
Officially became Denden Mary, because they like the teachers just added Mary. To my name.
Are you officially? Are you saying officially now you're Denden Mary?
It's crazy. I graduated and I got a, you know,
diploma.
Diploma
with Denden Mary on it?
It says Denden Mary. And completely
that is funny.
Fictional. That's made fact. And so I was so excited as a child who was called Denden all her life. And I told you kids picked on me for being skinny. They also picked on me for being Denden. Like Denden is.
What does Denden mean?
It means, I'm named after a mountain in Eritrea. It means cannot be overcome. It's beautiful, it's amazing. I am a mountain. It's fantastic. But as a child, people like saying dinner, and you know, all these things are so annoying and it's so weird. And you know, I just wanted to be Alex or
Sarah,
Jenny,
Susan,
or
Jennifer.
Susan, or I didn't really want to be them. I just didn't want people being annoying with my name. People saying den.
That's a good
you know?
One. I didn't think about that one. I like that. What is that from? That's there's a show on TV. Oh, that's Dragnet. That's Dragnet.
All of them.
Joe Friday. Please, give me some more.
Do you remember Double Checks? Chex Mix?
No,
Chex Mix, they had a song. They were like, I love double Chex. Chex Mix. Okay, and so like people were like, better Dan, the rest.
People were
so lame. So like at that moment, I was a 13-year-old who had a real name of Mary. I was ecstatic. And so, but I only told like my closest friends. Well, this girl was in one of my circle of friends. She wasn't one of my closest friends, but you know, she was close enough to my closest friend to know that I was happy about being known as Mary, or just having that name. I didn't change my name to it, but when we went to Georgia, she told everybody my name was Mary. So I bring all this up because my mother, my adopted mother, she came to that house and she
said, your adopted mother. What
okay,
you?
The lady who came to my house who sang in the choir. We're getting to that point. How did I get?
Brought you in your senior year of high school in Georgia.
Okay, but so she came to that dirt house, remember?
Oh,
and she
I know.
Said,
dirt house.
And she said, Mary, I can't be having nobody live under my name and just living out here in the world. Now I don't know where they're doing and what they up to. But she's like, Mary, you're going to have to come live with me.
Trim my lion's claws and I cut my mane and I would if I could, but that woman treats me the same. She said lions are made for cage. Just to look at and delight you, dare not let them walk around, but they might just bite. Does she know what she does when she dances around my cage?
She put me in one of her rooms, and you know, she was like this like really prissy like woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's the first, like, she was a woman, she was a mom, she taught me what it was like to be a woman. Like I was like digging
in
her
prissy
story.
Dressed in this fancy dress and the hats on Easter and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay.
And if her hair is messed up,
she was by herself, or did she have kids and other people?
She had one son, but he was grown.
Okay.
So he was out the house, he was far grown. He became my big brother Corey. So I had Mabel Jo Bentley and Corey, and she made this deal with me. She said, you're going to live in my house. We're going to see how we fit together. And if we work out during the summer, we're going to sign up your papers and you're going to go to school in the fall. So she got me into the house. And 2 weeks later, it turned out like they weren't accepting half of my credits. And the only way I was going to graduate is if I did summer school.
So she pulled my lion's tail and caused me pain.
you officially adopted by this lady? Officially adopted by this lady by the time you graduated high school.
I was officially adopted before I started school.
So in that summer you were...
I was officially...
So how long does that take? It takes a couple weeks.
Just
a piece of paper?
Sign it.
I no longer want you. This person has ownership, not guardianship over you and can make decisions and you're out of it.
I give this person consent to...
I'm not going to ask you how you felt about that because that it was one way, that's fine.
It was no emotions tied to that.
Business. I got to get this, and to do that, I need to do X, Y,
yes.
and Z. Okay.
I didn't even have a problem talking to the mother about that. Nothing.
So what were the relationships like in your senior year? Not just men or anything like that. Boys at that point. But I'm just talking about the relationship that you have with your peers at that point in high school, because you're a different person at that point.
No, plus I'm in a different place, in a different, like,
so what changes?
Completely different place. This is the deep south, where if they don't know you, they make it up.
What do they make up about Mary? Mary was already making stuff up.
They made up so many things.
You're from Africa?
It was whatever's fear. That's crazy.
That's reality.
Fear. Whatever their fear was, I became their fear. So if it was a girl, I was a man stealer. If it was a guy my age, I was a lesbian. If it was a guy my age in the drug business, I was a narc. If it was a regular person, I was a drug dealer. You know, like, whatever their fear was, that's what I was. You know, because,
these people have their fears about you.
And I was all of them. No, whatever their fears
were. So what were you then? So, again, we're also talking about
the
fact that...
You know my story. I told you. Mm-hmm. I was a girl who came with a friend.
What were you doing daily? After school, you hanging out with people? Are you working? What are you doing?
Yeah, I had... I still worked at Waffle House.
Waffle House, okay.
Yeah, Waffle House. I dated a guy.
So in a year, you go from stick figure girl to...
college student teacher.
Really?
Yeah.
What does that do to you then?
I didn't think about my body. I didn't know it happened.
I remember that you.
Yeah, I still didn't wear like heels or anything. I wasn't a girl yet. I call myself a boy. I was a boy. But I was a female boy. So stupid. I had a guy that I dated. I went to the senior prom and she was mad. Because I'm still me. I still go do stuff on my own. And this girl said she had an old prom dress. I was like, I'll give you $20 for it. I got a prom dress. She was mad. She was so upset.
Well, she wanted to buy the dress
She wanted to go shopping. Like, she's, we're supposed to go shopping. We're supposed to look for it together. Like, you know, this is what she does. She's a woman. And I took that from her by getting that dress. But then I let her do everything else. Like, I let her get my hair done and my nails done and all that.
Okay, so the primping. So the primping part of womanhood, you got. What did you learn about mothering from her?
She was present. And she was like, somebody who's not used to a person, like, asking you questions, like, how's your day, what's going on, you know, who are you talking to? she was that person. She's like, who are you talking to, Mary? And I'm like, oh, this guy Quentin, you know, she's like, oh, Quentin. Who's his mama? Like, she was like real, and it was great. It was wonderful to have like a actual like. I knew what parenting was because I had a grandma Elizabeth, and you know, so I knew. And my mom and dad, they didn't like. They weren't completely foibles. You know, we played soccer when I was a kid. There were things that happened.
But so you're saying they never taught you basketball?
They did not teach me.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
They did teach me soccer.
At the beginning of the podcast, I told it I want to eventually get to the fact that you're an actor.
Artist.
You're an artist, an actress. You've done
movies
and plays, and you mentioned stand-up comedy, one woman show, things like that. So I wanted to start, you know, to start.
Where did that come from?
Where did you go? So after high school, so we're at, actually, before we get there, we got to talk about, so we're at the point in your life story when you and I interact.
We're
and that's
even,
a great
yes,
story.
But it's coming.
That's a great story about yes, this awful basketball player that I saw at Carmichael Gymnasium.
Came
when I go,
back
how can I help this person?
North Carolina, because I had a medical issue. And so I came back, and because my parents' insurance was here and my mother told me I could use it. And I came back to use that.
So, was that the first and only communication when there was a health scare? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like it wasn't even on purpose. It was just in the like, I got a bill for an ultrasound and it was $500 and that was too much. Like for like one little thing. And like, it was clear that there was gonna be more of them. Okay. Like it wasn't gonna be one. So I was like, I can't be doing this. I don't even know. And so mom jumped in and was like, you're still old enough to be on our insurance, come. And so I came. And
so how did that, did you feel guilty for doing that? Did
no,
you feel...
I just hated the house. I had some really bad feelings about the house. Like I literally had a bad, like I came in and like stood at the door for like a day. Like I couldn't do it. So like it was just hard for me in that house. That house and I, we yeah, had.
So how long were you back in North Carolina under the roof?
Well, so what's crazy is because I was like college age, but not in college, and I got over that thing, that problem, it went away. It just went away by itself. And I was there, North Carolina, around people I knew, everybody's in college, and it was like party time! It was crazy! I just started partying. It was crazy. I was really bad. I had a job, I was making money, and I had no bills to pay. I was bananas.
So let's get real here. What kind of party were you doing?
Oh no,
what were you doing?
It was, yeah.
Stop, to the point where you can't even talk about it. Okay.
That's where you wish that you were. Do you want a time in my life?
No,
you
want
to
still, I still want the woman 2 years ago to say yes. That would be great.
No,
you know why? Because she's past the partying. So when she say yes, she's understanding what she's saying yes to. You can't tell me what I want.
No, you want the girl who's saying yes to the other stuff.
No, I don't. Even at that age.
I was like the one night stand. I would call for it. I would be like, he's cute. He has a great voice. Let's go.
No, you're at that age, and this is what, 19, 20?
19. Yeah.
At that age, I still, those people scared me.
Oh yeah.
Because I didn't know
definitely
enough about myself.
I didn't know anything about myself, and I was bananas.
So the mature woman who's making the decision to say yes with some gravity, with some kind of knowledge, that's always been a whole lot sexier. Bill Cosby would be not in trouble if the decision was the man. That's my point. So you get back to North Carolina, you're partying, and you can imagine, now can we imagine the worst? And we go a step beyond?
Yeah, you can.
Wow.
Probably, not, maybe I'm like one step before the worst. It was just like a wonderful summer and fall, like, bananas. So it was a lot of drinking, a lot of partying.
Liquor, not beer, liquor.
It was liquor and sex. Yes, and that's what it was.
So you became the hoe.
Yeah. I didn't even think nothing of it. It was just like, I was just living.
Okay.
And I didn't worry about anything. Like, I would like 10, 11 o'clock at night, yeah, I'll go check out my friends at the club. Like, and I was friends with the DJ and the bouncer. I don't know how I got these relationships, but I had friendships. Friendships with like owners.
Of course.
But I wasn't sleeping with those people.
There was the possibility in their minds.
Like, yes, So that's what I was doing at that time, and it was crazy, and it was a little too much. And then I had a birthday. And I spent a week doing everything under the sun, like the entire week, 7 days of craziness that ended in like a hotel party to end all hotel parties. And then I quit everything. I quit drinking, I quit having sex, I quit caffeine.
And here is where I come in at this point. Oh, my timing was impeccable.
I quit my job, I went back to school.
So she's not having sex, she's not drinking, and she's broke, and who shows up? Me!
Yes.
And
this is when I met you.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was stupendous.
It was wonderful.
It was, but you know the funny
no,
thing
is... No, actually a little later, but close.
No,
close.
No, but the funny thing is, looking back, I knew...
It wasn't there like was, it just ended. It
was, no, but I knew there was something you were fighting. I'm not saying,
well, I'm just the wrong guy. You should just want to have sex with me, right?
But it's not that, but I knew that there was something. I mean, you can see sort of, you know, you're walking towards a certain situation and you just kind of go, like, no, I can't, no. It's like, I can't, no, I can't. But there was no, not a logical reason, but it was no, it's like, at that point in my life, I'm going, not succumb to urges per se, but it's a part of me. The sexual experience is a part of me. Not, but you know what I mean? It's not built up in me, but it's a part of my humanness. So when somebody denies that, I'm going, there has to be a reason for that. And so there was never time to explore that reason.
Yeah.
Like we're doing
and
now.
And like
I'm
most
just
recently,
knowing
I think I talked to you like maybe half a year ago about this. And I think I told you, I think I had an unhealthy attachment to unhealthy attachments.
I was the goody two shoes. I don't want to be the goody two shoes. I was the nice guy.
No. I'm saying that I feel like I may have been addicted to sex. Mm-hmm. Like that I was going on high after high. Like I would do it and I'd feel great, and then a few hours I'd be like down again. It'd be like, okay, what do I do to get high again?
Gotcha.
And that's not smart. That's just not good. It's not safe. And I think I recognized this addictive behavior the week of my birthday because it was so
this
over
is how
the top.
Old? This is 21?
This was my 20th birthday, which is even funnier because my 21st birthday I did nothing except for watch a movie and clean my room with a whole group of friends. It was wonderful. It had a great 21st birthday, but it wasn't wild blowout party.
So what was the
you
know, hit the wall moment? It was that week. I don't believe in hitting the wall. I believe in the walk, the steps leading up to the wall.
Well, that would be that whole season, the whole like from me getting there, getting healed from this horrible, painful sickness, and then like kind of being free as a young adult in a college kind of, this is a college state.
Oh, yeah.
Like the whole state is a college town. Everybody's college age and, you know, the party's on. Like, and I knew all the DJs and I knew all the promoters and the club owners. I could get into anywhere at any time, with anything. I could get anything I wanted. I didn't have to spend a dime. I could get drinks. I could get...
It was a young girl's dream.
Yeah.
Some young woman.
And I wasn't I wasn't crazy with it. But if I wanted to go crazy, I could. Like, if I wanted to drink, I could have a night, you know, that went that far. And that week, that one week, if I, as a mother, looked at it, and I'm not a mother yet, but if I, as a mother, looked at it, I'd be like, you know, what, like, there's something wrong with you. Like we need to get your, like, mental health checked, like, your social, like, self-worth feelings, you know. And I didn't have a bad like self-worth or self-image, but I may have been going from one high to another, you know. You see what I'm saying? It may have been a problem. And so like I quit everything. I quit caffeine. I quit dark sodas and coffee. I quit my job. I worked at the hotel.
Well, you couldn't have quit all sugars because I came in and I was there.
I didn't meet you for another like half a year.
So
I actually got to like I got to quit all of that and get used to my life as an abstinent person and I went to school, and like when I first got
enrolled asked in college, where college?
I did the smartest, fastest thing. I went to Wake Tech. I went to a community college, and got in, and like a semester later, a year later, I was able to go to NC State, and then you could take classes at NC State and still get credit at Wake Tech. So
and there I come in, and summer of 2000,
yes.
Celibate, non-partying,
smart.
Not drinking.
Getting
my life together. You meet this sensible guy.
I was so focused.
Maybe that's what it was, because I think you mentioned this. You mentioned that probably what you were looking for at that time in yourself.
Maybe I was trying to be. I was focused. I was very focused because I handled that college. I did college in like 3.5 years. Like done. 3 years over. So I was very, very focused.
You graduated from UNC. I mean, we can't blame you for everything for that. You got a degree in what? What did you get a degree in?
Communications, and my concentrations were media studies and production, which is film, video production, and performance studies. Mm-hmm.
So this is now roughly
2003, 2004.
So then
December.
You figure out, okay, what do I do with my life now? So what are you doing? You're still living here in Raleigh. You're back under your. You living on your own in college?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so you're here, you're living on your own, you have a college.
And my parents would deliver my sisters and brothers if they messed up. They would just bring them to college campus and drop them.
Does your UNC degree say Den Den Mary?
Yes.
It does say Mary?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because they took the transcripts from my high school diploma and they started college.
There's this woman doing stuff that legally does not exist. Legally does not exist. You're a ghost. So 2003, what are you gonna do with your life now? You've got all these things done.
So I said, okay, you have this degree, so you have to go to LA, New York, or Miami. Right?
So now we're getting into the acting. Here
you
go.
Yes, you have this degree and you need to use it, LA, New York, or Miami. And I was like, well, you're not fake enough for LA. Sorry. Sorry for anybody who doesn't agree with my opinion.
I watch my TMZ. I know that's true. I watch my TMZ live.
So
I was
like,
true.
I'm not fake enough. I'm not plastic enough for LA. And I don't want to be. I don't want to become that. That's not what I want to become. So I was like, New York. I'm going to move to New York. I was gonna move to New York. I was planning on moving to New York. I prepped, got ready, talked to somebody about an apartment, all that stuff. And then I went on one last spring break in Florida.
Still there, the animal was still there.
I went, yeah, so, but I loved spring break. Spring breaks were fun. It was a lot of fun. And I didn't go crazy or anything, but they were a lot of fun. So I went down there, and then I came back here to grab my stuff, and it was a little chilly. It was just a little bit chilly here in North Carolina, and I thought to myself, New York is colder than this. And I immediately drove my car filled to the brim with my stuff that was supposed to go to New York down to Florida. Like, I had to give phone calls to New York people later and apologize not showing up. I went straight to Florida because that's what I do. I just decide something and do it. And so I moved to Florida. I joined through word of mouth. Somebody, this is another thing about me. A lot of times, a lot of the moves I made coming up were like a suggestion. Somebody suggested to me in college, hey, you know, I think you should be a communications major. I was a psychology major. I was trying to figure out what was going on in my family and my parents' life. And I was like, I hate writing. And they were like, no, not mass comm, communications. They're like, check it out. Go like take a class. So I signed up for like the two classes looked interesting and immediately changed my major. I've been a yes person all my life.
There was a certain time in your life.
I explore where options and ideas.
Yes was not the operative word. There's a certain point of view.
So I was in Florida and someone said, hey, why don't you try an audition for this improv troupe. And so I went online and I found a whole bunch of improv exercises. It took like about 3 rules, stuck them under my belt, and I went to this audition. And I was very humble and I assumed I didn't make it. And the next day I got an acceptance email that said, please join our cast. And I became a member of Laughing Gas.
And this is where, based out of what city?
This is down in Miami. Okay. Down in so Miami
Laughing
Lakes.
Gas Theater?
Laughing Gas. Comedic Improvisation Theater.
True. And how long were you with them?
Well, I'm basically still with them, but...
So what does that mean? Because I've heard, you know, you're a member of the Steppenwolf, or you're a member of, what's the one, and there was a big improv in Chicago where all the SNL people come out of...
Second City.
Second City.
Yes.
What does that mean, you're a part of a theater ensemble? So are you going to work every day? Like, somebody is going to 8 o'clock at their computer, you're showing up at 8 o'clock at the theater
when
ready?
When I was a member of this troupe down in South Florida at the time, we had at least 2 shows a week. Let's say Friday night and Saturday night. Most of the time we had 4 shows a week. We'd have 2 shows on Friday, 2 shows on Saturday. And that's the things that happened in the house shows. So I would be a cast member for maybe 4 shows, maybe for 1 show, maybe for 2 shows, whatever my schedule allowed. Plus we would have away shows. And away shows are funny because they could be closer to your house than the actual theater show, but you would get paid about 4 times as much because they were private shows, so the client was paying more for it. The for their shows were like $20 a night. Okay. Basically pay the gas. But if it was an away show, you might make $150. You might make, you know, like, which was bigger. And the further away
so
you
again,
are.
So again, you're not making a living. This is just something you're doing on this. Oh, are
it
you
is,
are you surviving?
Becoming, at that moment, at the beginning, it was like becoming a living. Like I was still like a bartender, because that was my sideline job. But they were like a marketing for me, so people would know. Like I'm. There are not that many brown people in improv. I don't know if you know this. It's mostly white people. The cards that they had. I stood out, and I didn't even know that I stood out, but I came to find out. I would go to a commercial casting, and they'd say, you're that girl. And I'd say, yes, I am. I don't know what you're talking about.
Thank you.
I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, your picture's on our wall. And you would think that it would be like a picture, like when the picture's in, but it would be a cast photo with like 20 people on there. Some people, the same people, but different characters. And there's only one image of me. But I stand out because I'm brown.
I'm looking at you and I'm it'll be.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. And I was the smiling pretty one. Like, there was like, you know.
But you could be Indian, you could be
Spanish,
anything from
Arabic.
East Africa to about Thailand. You could be anywhere in there.
And South America.
And South America. So
and
you could,
the Caribbean.
You're versatile.
I'm called ethnically ambiguous.
I like it.
That is the word for
I
me.
Like you and everybody else on Network News. What are the 3 rules of improv?
Well, there's 700
what are the 3
rules.
Main ones?
But like the first rule is to accept everything. Say yes. The first rule of improv is say yes.
So you were doing improv, but well, not, you were doing drama when you met me. You were improvising.
When I did everything else in my life.
When you didn't know me, you were doing, you did improv. I was like,
well, yeah.
I was like a Meryl Streep Holocaust drama when you met me. That's what that was.
So
I was like Sophie's Choice or Schindler's List when you met me. Or, so that I don't offend anybody, you, Amistad. You were like Amistad.
Amistad.
Every other.
How does that work?
Well, it's a serious drama, but a serious.
Oh.
So if I say Sophie's Choice or Schindler's List, it's like.
There's a lot of dramas that aren't that deep, like.
But I'm just saying, it wasn't that deep. We had a deep connection for a serious relationship for
so
2 months.
So cute.
So, well, I am what I am. Where were we? You got me all flustered here.
So first rule of improv is to accept. The second rule is to expand. So yes and. So the words are yes and. So those are the first exercise most improvisers get is a yes and exercise.
So I'm gonna put you on the spot. What's the third rule? And then I'm gonna put you in an exercise. You're gonna engage me in an improvisational
accept, expand,
act for a couple minutes.
Expanding can mean like telling where you're at or how you're gonna use this other thing that people have taught you. Listening is a major component of improv because to accept you have to hear the offer that is given to you. And the offer is anything. Like, so if you said I had a claw hand, that would be an offer. and I would accept it as a gift.
Teach me a little improv here. Teach me a little improv. Put me in an improv situation to see if I can get my bearings in it here.
So, okay.
So I'm just going to follow your rules. Whatever you say, I go with it, mm-hmm. and I expand on it, and I listen, and I come with the real raw Denzel. Keep calling me the land of me! No, that's not the wrong. Put in the rock! I'm getting my Denzels confused.
No. Don't be Denzel.
I'm getting my Denzels confused.
You.
Put in the rock in the land of King Kong!
No, that's not it, right? You know what, even if
I love me the 54.
No.
I love me the 54.
No.
The 54 truth. No. You don't know what reference that is.
Yes, I do. What reference is that? Don't do it.
I'm trying to think of all my Denzel lines. I'm not an impersonator, but I can learn to be an improvisational actor, so teach me.
Well, if you were acting, wouldn't try to be Denzel. You would try to be yourself as
Denzel. Teach me so we can educate some actors out there.
So it's simple, like the audience, we would ask the audience for...
No audience here, you give me, let's go.
We would ask the audience for a situation that just happened that is out of the ordinary. So an animal just fell through your roof.
Okay.
Right, so...
Gosh, where did this elephant come from?
Clearly, the gods.
But this is the third one this week. I'm sick of this. I am sick of this.
Well, maybe you're not really taking this seriously. You know, this being sick thing, it's not going to help your situation. Maybe you need to get healthy.
I went to the doctor because what it is there's this woman upstairs and her cousin moved in. They're larger. So it's not, it's not, I'm not saying real elephants. I live in New York City. Where the hell are you going to find? But it's just these two women and they keep jumping up and down. They're trying to lose weight or something. They just sound like freaking elephants. And there's two of them now. No.
They're women?
Why would you?
We
live in New York City.
With women? You have a problem with big women? Are you saying you have a problem with big women?
No, I have a problem with that base. I got a problem with that base. That base is low.
You know what?
That base is low.
I always thought
swing
you thought I was fat. And this is just you trying to say that I'm fat. And I'm just so tired of you.
I never said that. You're trouble. You're trouble, but I love it. You're trouble, but I love it. And what I don't love is the drama, though.
No trouble. It's not. No trouble. Scene. So stupid. So now imagine if we took these proponents and we placed it on life. Everything that someone says to you is an offer and it's a gift. And if you accept it, then you take it in and you say, what could I do with this bit of information about myself? And you expand it. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, but this now that this begs the question. So all this drama, this heavy Sophie's Choice drama happened to you prior to the improv classes.
Yes.
The way you talk about the situations in high school, it almost sounds as if
I've always been an improv.
Not always been an improv, like, but you've used that vernacular, that language, that way of perceiving life to go back and sort of the language to explain the things that happened to you are couched in the vernacular of improv. You know, like, accept it, go with it, it happens, let's just keep going.
Well, see, this is actually quite spiritual as well, is to accept that the things that happen to you are because of a higher divine will and power, and that it's a gift.